presents the Geekatorium 27-Hour Podcast Challenge, raising money for comic relief. Donate now by going to my.rednoseday.com/sponsor/Geekatorium27podcast. FUBAR and Geekatorium, doing something stupid for a very good cause.
AM, still AM, and this is the FUBAR radio station of your dreams presents Paul Gannon's nightmarish fevered idea of what could be raising money when he could have just baked the cake attempt at raising money. My brain is literally burbling like a babbling brook, but let me start again. This is FUBAR Radio, the Geekatorium 27-Hour Podcast Live Challenge Fundraiser Comic Relief. I still can't say it, but basically donate. You got no excuse. Go to my.rednoseday.com/sponsor/Geekatorium27podcast.
Fucking donate.
We've just had one come in. We've had a donation Let me read out the name. We have
read it out.
A massive round of applause and thanks to Marianne Cook. So
over a fiver, was it?
I hope so.
All right.
I'll twist the screws.
It's all, and we got guests in and out.
We've got all sorts of guests now.
Yeah, so shall we bring in Dom and Paul then?
Well, as long as Eve's good to wait, I mean. And who's that other guy, is he?
Eve? What? Hey? What's going on? It's all getting excited.
Oh, well, hey!
Come on in. Hey!
Hey!
You're going to have to use the vinyl.
Oh, I'll go. Paul, come here. Paul, you come here.
Paul, you come there. You go there.
Where am I going over there?
Go over there. That's where. Go to. Okay.
All right, perfect. Marvellous. We are now.
We are now.
Okay.
Seriously, hello. We do not get the chance to say. Let's just put the best of Morrissey on for a while and chill
perfect.
Out.
That's good. That's good.
Me and Eli have been talking non-stop since 8 p.m. last night.
Jesus.
You seem very coherent for it. I mean, when Eli opened the door, I thought, my God, he can form sentences. Well done. How's it been going?
The hardest bit for me has been since Ash left. Those 6 till 9 a.m. when it was just like, we've nothing. We've got nothing.
What else do you do?
It's like, what else do you do? So it was mostly talking about my successful poo.
Good subject to start with.
So wait a minute, the listeners need to know who's in the room. So
Paul,
we've got two guests, two fantastic stand-ups that I adore and admire, and they're here to give their time. So let's do a little bit of a round of applause for Dom Biswas. And equally sounding similar applause for Paul Harry Allen.
Good morning.
So yeah, there are no rules really when it comes to this. We got the chat, so if anything's on your brain box, we're happy.
Right.
I mean, I know you've brought some vinyl.
I brought some vinyl,
so we can dip into that a little bit later and talk about. Because I imagine it's from your solo show.
There's a bit of it, yeah. I thought I'd bring. I bought some stuff. I brought a bit of Clash because I felt you might need livening up. I brought a bit of funk, and obviously I brought a couple of stuff from your solo show, which includes a sing along. So I thought you lads might liven yourself up with a bit of a sing along.
Sounds all good. And Dom, how are you doing, man?
A bit tired, but obviously not as tired as you guys.
I was going to say, don't you bring that
don't
in
bring
here.
That, don't
run that
I'm just, I'm just surprised you had Gillian Anderson on yesterday.
I know. I mean, look, I mean, I'm not going to say we got into trouble because we didn't really, but it was slightly unorthodox the way we got it. We were that far away from basically putting a bag over her head and dragging her in.
Did he dress up as aliens or something?
No, we could have done that. We could have drugged her.
We could have done that, painted him silver. I don't know what.
Why is that funny? Why is that funny?
You as an alien is inherently funny.
Thanks, Paul.
So yeah, it was exciting, and she was very brief. I mean, literally in, out.
Right.
Thing, because you know she's been doing Mark's thing, and Mark.
Oh, I see. So she's. Oh right. Wow. That's
so Mark got her to like pour baked beans on someone, or
someone. They've
shave
got
a
someone
chest.
Over there who's been in a bath of baked beans. This whole time.
Is this for comic relief, by the way, obviously?
It is for
We're wasting bacon.
Let's hope so.
We're wasting baked beans, aren't
their
we?
Kick.
No, I think that the amount that's been donated offsets the baked beans.
Right. Yeah, we can get rid of that carbon footprint, I think. We're all right with that.
So
seriously, though, how are you? You all right, keeping well?
Yeah, I'm fine. Great, yeah.
Yeah?
Are you ready to go? Talk about whatever, politics, whatever.
Whatever you fancy, because this is the thing, we've tried to keep it topical. When we got stuck this morning, we were like, what's on the news? What exciting news stuff can we do? And it was like, death, murder, assassination, Spock's dead. It was like,
well,
third world
fucking
war.
Enough, I have brought my copy of Leonard Nimoy's Will I Think of You.
What? Really?
This is one of his poetry books.
Can we please have a bit of Leonard Nimoy's poetry?
Certainly. Well, I was with a bit, I flicked through, it's in various sections like Daybreak and Darkness, Seasons, and one of my I say favourites, I can't really say that. Incidentally, it cost me 20 pence.
That's probably shot up in value.
I should treat it fairly carefully, shouldn't I?
You need to eBay that stuff.
I do, yeah. One of my favourite bits is a bit started only at night, where the silence and the blackness is touched occasionally by a lonely cat or suspicious puppy. I never knew they could be suspicious, but a passing plane, red eye winking to the stars who refuse to be seduced. When I hear your whispered love in the tree rustle, when I feel your secret hand exploring me, drifting across my skin to rest in a friendly harbour. I've never heard it called that
before.
He's
a man of many talents.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, you can have a flick through that. And
there's a random fact about Leonard Nimoy. Have you had the film Three Men and a Little Baby?
Yeah.
Didn't he direct that?
Yeah, he did.
Something I only found out today, which... Oh, God. That was definitely a verb.
So, he was speaking Welsh, for my honour, there.
Oh, yeah.
Are you okay, Paul?
Yeah, no, I'm fine. It was just talking and burping and then not... Yeah, anyway, point being is, Paul, shut up.
That's simple, right?
That's simple. Yeah, that's what we have
what
to pick.
Have a flick through that, yeah.
Let's have a look. So I just want to read the back of it. So, this is the voice of a man speaking to his beloved, hoping that, somehow, she will hear. There are eyes of a man seeking his beloved in every place where life and beauty dwell. He took her penis in his hand.
He didn't do that.
He took her penis. Yeah. It's progressive.
He took her dick.
Yeah,
it's a she male. Yeah. He's writing about.
Whenever you think of love, will you think of this book? Will I think of you?
Do Vulcans have the genitals the wrong way around? Like, comparatively to us.
There's a reason why Spock did that with his hand. Let's just put it that way. Yeah.
What, he had a vagina? His hand was a vagina?
It was like, you know when you were at school and you did that thing?
Oh, yeah.
It was like, oh, mate. Vulcans were just basically dirty schoolboys.
Mucky buggers,
I tell you what, because we had Nick Revel on last night, and he was here from, like, what was it, like, 1 till, like, 5. He was here for ages.
He was here for ages.
It got really deep. We were talking about the very essence of, you know, satire and conspiracy theories and the French language, and then he left, and it was like, boom, wee fanny tits. The minute you went up.
You've got to have yin and yang. You have to kind of balance
it. Go with what you know.
Yeah.
So, because you're here, I want to run the news stories past you and get your genuine opinion, because this when I looked at it this morning was just like, seriously, this is where the world's going? It's like the 80s all over again. Tory power, repression, unions, strikes, riots, the Russians hate us.
It is a bit retro, isn't it?
It's got Putin critic Boris Nemtsov shot dead. And then the article beneath that on the BBC says UK must prepare for Russian threat.
Jesus.
And I'm just thinking, what? Is Russia bored? Is that what it is? They've just been doing nothing but sitting on their hands since the 90s. Ever since they saw the living daylights and it cast them in a bad light, you know?
Yeah.
I think what we need to do with Russia is offer them a 27-hour podcast. Maybe they can take some time out.
If Putin can do what we did, then they can invade.
That's it, yeah.
I'll happily put the sickle on my arm.
The march.
But I didn't know it ramped up considerably from benign Cold War threat to potential new villain for the next Bond film. Because that's what... I don't follow the news too much. I just read the headlines and go, I am pretty depressed.
Yeah, it's fucking depressing, isn't it? Yeah.
That'd be shit if we had a war with Russia. That'd be beyond shit.
What kind of war would it be, though?
Everyone dying
very quickly, I guess.
Way quick.
A bit like, when the wind blows.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Nuclear Armageddon.
Nuclear fallout. I guess it will be, yeah.
I don't know. The thing that's interested me most about the news is the Jihadi John.
Yes.
He's been revealed.
Finally revealed, yeah.
Yeah, it turns out Jihadi John is a computer graduate, and I don't want to tell that to my mum, because... He's got a better degree than I have.
The BBC had an article about that, basically saying, yes, in school he had anger management classes. I was like, that correlation doesn't prove anything.
No, exactly.
Yeah. It's not going to necessarily lead to it.
Lots of people had anger management classes. I mean, I know I did.
Really now?
Not really.
No, right, okay.
I thought about it once.
I had anger issues. I've put that behind me.
No, you haven't.
I have. I sublimate it.
With drugs.
I self-medicate. I don't know why it's getting like this. I've got nothing to say.
It's 11 o'clock,
Yeah, it is.
Years and years
we have
now.
Literally 12 hours left.
Wow.
12 hours.
But do we think war with Russia is inevitable, or is it just spin at this point?
I don't know. I don't know what's going on. All I hear about is, because I'm a bit of a conspiracy theorist, a lot of bankers' war, and there's a lot of oil in that region, so it makes sense to have that. Any war we've had is due to oil, I think, especially in the Middle East.
I think that's a scurrilous thing to say.
Yeah.
How dare you suggest we went into a couple of illegal wars simply to secure the gas and oil lines?
Exactly. So.
I don't know where you got the evidence
for
that.
Very controversial.
Controversial.
Give me 45 minutes and I'll come up with the evidence myself. Yeah. It's just weird. And that Jihadi John thing as well. Like, the way they've been reporting about it makes it sound like he's been on Blind Date. Like the curtain comes back. Here is your special contestant.
Exactly, yeah, with a real G. John stand up. Yeah.
hasn't he got lovelier?
No.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. By a hat.
Imagine if you're on all the women on Take Me Out, then Jihadi John appears.
Yeah.
All the buzzers will go.
All the lights are going.
Imagine if you got a date and then if she wasn't turned out to be nice, he'll film a video of the
Now there's the episode we'd like to see. Yeah.
Well, we'd like to see him go on a date with the host. What's he called?
Paddy McGuinness.
That fucker.
I don't think the date would go that well from the off.
No, I'm not sure.
Put the moon in this box or whatever. It is.
Yeah.
Put the woman in her place.
Nice.
Yeah, very nice.
That's what that show basically does.
Yeah. I can imagine it. It's a guilty pleasure of mine, but if you had Jihadi John on it, yeah, and he actually got a date, he'll be walking like 5 steps ahead and she'll be like 5 steps ahead.
And that's the other thing as well. Jihadi John makes him sound like a Disney character.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you've got this range of
a little action figure.
Yeah. Taliban Tom.
Yeah, yeah. This is an interesting show. I think we're writing our own fatwa as we go on.
Look, if anyone is easily offended, then you should not be listening right now. Anyway, this is not your cup of tea.
I like being on some kind of broadcast media and just saying fuck this time of the day. I'm kind of into that.
Chris Evans never got to say fuck this time of day.
Yeah, but a lot more people.
Terry Wogan. Top of the morning to you. Yeah. Fuck this.
I wanted to talk to Paul for a second here, because he's into vinyl.
Yeah.
Have you heard of this label, Paul? Unicorn Kanchana.
No,
it's bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a very odd one. I may have something lurking, but I've not.
It's got the Professionals on one side.
Fancy it too.
And the Avengers
that
on the
is,
other.
Now, that, if ever there was a reason never to leave the house, this is it. Wow. The Professionals and the new Avengers theme on one single. Wow, yeah. That's amazing. No, I've not heard of Unicorn Kachanga.
Bizarre.
But it's quite lurky. Yeah, it doesn't quite roll off the tongue very well.
Have you seen any other brands with that label?
Any other record with that label?
Yeah.
No. That's the first Unicorn Kanchana thing I've ever seen.
Mm.
Oh.
I know.
Yeah, well, that's good.
That's interesting.
What's better, Professionals or New Avengers?
I haven't seen the New Avengers. Has it come out this year?
I don't know. I'd be sworn with the New Avengers just because of Purdy, really. But I don't know. It's a difficult one. But then again, I can't leave Bodie behind. You know?
I would err on the side of Avengers.
Yeah, I'd say Avengers maybe. Just
it's a less bigoted. Outright racist, sexist.
And plus, there were monsters in it as well. You know, you had those kind of those robots. I can't remember what they're called. Them the sort of silver ones that sort of.
That was the interesting thing about the Avengers. I don't know too much about the new Avengers, but the original Avengers was like, you look and you think quaint British spy show. But it's not. You watch any episode and it's just this trippy, weird, mannequins coming to life.
Mm.
Sounds like Doctor Who.
It was a sort of spy sort of Doctor Who in this.
Spy
of
version of Doctor Who.
And that's why when the movie came out of the Avengers, you know, with Sean Connery and Uma Thurman, and people are like, outlandish rot! And you're thinking, all right, it's not a great film, but you did see the TV show.
Yeah,
right?
From what it's based on, I've not seen the actual film, but yeah, exactly. You have to sort of homage to it.
The film was worth it because Sean Connery plays the big bad guy, which is a role he was dying to do for years. There's a scene where there's a boardroom, big long table, all the baddies from all the different conglomerate groups around the table. They're all wearing giant teddy bear suits. And Sean Connery enters the scene as a giant teddy bear, takes off his hair, goes, "Let it rain."
For that reason alone, I am going to seek this out.
Why would you not like a film that stars Sean Connery, where he plays an evil mad genius who wants to control the weather?
Is that what he goes to control?
Yeah. and Uma Thurman get cloned in it, so you get two Uma Thurmans.
Well,
and you get Ralph Fiennes giving it the old Broly action. It's a bollocks film, but it's a bollocks film you can enjoy.
Yeah, I think if you take it at a level, you can escape into it nicely.
Oh, I've got it. Ignore that for the time being.
Yeah,
it's good the way you've got your phone just on. What? And I've been really admiring that.
All right, then you know what? I'm going to take this call. Chatty, chatty.
All right, I'll
make sure it's on. All right,
just
on.
Don't you bring a domestic in here. Don't you dare bring it in here. I've been here all night.
I think we've come at the right time, Don.
Exactly.
I love his tiff.
Like
all tiffs, we will make up and have aggressively beautiful sex.
So,
right, I'm going to make this phone call.
You may have noticed on that, they've got not only the professionals, but they've got... the theme from one particular episode.
Yeah, it says the main theme from episode on target.
Yeah, that's the money on this record.
Is that the money?
I'll let you have a little bit.
Okay, perfect.
Just bear with me.
Home taming is not killing music. Oh, lovely.
Let's see.
I mean, the crackle.
Yeah. Now that is soundtracky.
That is.
That's brilliant.
Very good.
It just sounds like something to a 70s porno.
Well, it's got that element, but it just kind of makes you want to strut.
It's a strutting.
It's a strutting element, yeah.
I just thought I'd
Yeah, that's good.
Get that out there.
I'm liking that.
Did you come straight from work then?
No, I just I came back late from a gig yesterday, but
yeah. How did that go?
It was okay, but it was fucking long.
Where were you gigging?
I was gigging in Cambridge for no money. For Mirth Control then.
Oh,
if anyone doesn't know,
other promoters are available.
Yeah, other promoters are available. I shouldn't take the piss out of Mirth Control, but if you did a gig for them abroad, they'll look for an open spot to fly the plane. So. This is pretty much a comics in joke. So
yeah,
it's pointless.
Yeah, all the comics are laughing. Anybody else is.
They must have some. They like advertise. Oh yeah, we're looking for a spot. Must be a pilot.
Yeah.
London. Must have London pilots.
London pilots only.
Do you know who's going to take that spot? It's probably Jihadi John. I shouldn't say that.
So we've got a few hours to go, and it's great to have some guests in, because me and Paul...
I've been distracted by your pile of records here, so I'll carry on.
It's a lovely pile of records, there.
It is. I'm just intrigued by the music to thrill to TV themes.
Yeah.
Which has got well, on one side we've got the Avengers theme and the Power Game. I don't know what that's from. But what's 11-1?
It's funny you should say that.
Oh, professional wrestling. Ah.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
We've actually played that already.
Right, fair enough.
Paul, so we can't play it again.
No, that's all right. That's okay.
It is bizarre, and there's no record of that tune anywhere. It's just weird.
That's weird. I mean, I would presume it just kind of harks back to sort of, you know, world of sport and that.
It is that kind of
right,
thing.
Right, is that wrestling.
But me and Paul, actually, we do a podcast called The Uncleakables, and we've been... using that as our main opening theme tune.
Oh, right, I see.
Yeah, we've changed it recently because Paul said it's shrill.
If there's a reason to change anything,
it's shrill.
If it's shrill. Oh, I said it's
he's a fucking troglodyte.
He's
anyway.
Taken a while to come to that, pulling it over.
Yes, yeah, so we've now got something called Wonder Dog as our theme tune. Wonder Dog was a novelty record from the early 80s, when they just first discovered those keyboards where you can play, like, a sound. A sample of an actual sound, and you can play it all on the keyboard.
Oh, I see, it goes out, right.
So it's a dog.
It's a dog, right.
Woof, 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 woof.
Right,
you know the deal.
Yeah,
it's fucking awful.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah.
So that's Wonder Dog, you know.
But, you know, well, it does the job for a theme tune.
It does. It's quite an exciting theme tune. You only play the bit before the dog thing comes in, so one would know it was a dog-based novelty record, you know, really.
But I'm liking the style.
Wow, I thought I was going to need a nap. I'm raring to go.
We can feel like a coiled spring.
We've got a bacon sandwich coming.
Oh, that's good, that's good. And how have you been surviving? Just on coffee and...
I've had seven Red Bulls.
Seven Red Bulls,
okay,
Jesus.
Fair enough, that's it, yeah.
Yeah. Do you do Red Bull, Dom?
I don't really like the taste. I used to do a lot of vodka and Red Bulls, but...
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't like the taste. I do a lot of Coke.
Right.
The drinks. Not the drugs.
A cola.
A cola.
Yeah. He's on a cola.
We're on the drugs again, Paul.
Yeah.
Right. We're going to have to change tack because we've got David Schneider here.
Brilliant.
Excellent. So we're going to get him in if we can just... Well, I'll go to the loo. All right, okay. He's got half an hour of his time.
All right.
We best make the most of it.
Right, okay.
All right,
fine.
Brilliant.
Sorry, guys.
No worries.
No, don't go anywhere. We want you to hang out.
Well, we'll hang out.
For longer, please.
Wow, it's not one out.
No, that's fine. Oh, well, he'll come
well, it is.
Jive.
No, just hang out there. We're going to put David here.
Well, where you are. Okay, yeah. Fine. Right, okay.
I better hold the...
Lizzie Condy's there as well.
Okay, let's do it.
Oh, yeah. I see. Right.
All right.
Hello.
Right.
Jump on over there.
Don.
This is Don. This is Paul.
Hey, buddy.
Eli is escaping.
Right.
Raise your hands there.
Okay, thank you. Was it Don or Dom?
Don.
Dom.
Okay.
Named after Wimbledon, where I'm from, which is weird.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Now, I was going to say, is that true?
Well, that's what my mum says, so... I've got... My real name is Anupol Biswas, but Don is my other name. It's my benefits name, I like to say.
Since you're on the poster.
Yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, people listening at home... guest I've long wanted to press the flesh with. I need to rephrase my phrases.
I have been having
so many.
I know for you it's still the night, but for me it's the morning. So flesh pressing. Let's start with some, ease it in.
The multifaceted, multi-talented David Schneider, everybody.
Woo! Hey! Studio clapping.
As I say, the longer this show goes on, the more it becomes Steve Wright in the afternoon, and that's my major concern at this point.
He did all right for himself.
I am not complaining about him at all. It's just I don't have the posse that he does.
Right.
Yeah.
Have you been? Because you're actually standing. Have you been? Which I can understand. I mean, I'm sat on a very high ego stool, which I like. But you're in a sort of firing from the hips. Now, have you been doing that for hours? Stood like that.
On and off. It's the only way I can function, because if I sit down, I will get comfortable, and comfortable leads to sleep, and sleep leads to the dark side,
and
the dark side leads to evil.
It's good.
Yeah, it's one of these weird things where, so I alternate between sitting and standing. Really rigorously interesting point to make.
It's always keeping you awake.
Yeah. If you don't know, we are we started at 8 p.m. last night, and we are continuing to 11 o'clock tonight. My brain is not worky good. It really isn't that. It's at that point
that's
now.
That's a word.
It's like I was saying before, if I say anything, I deserve a medal at this point in the night. Day.
You're doing so well.
I
was worried. This is quite a small studio. People have been in here for hours. And I was quite worried about the ventilation and the smell, but it's nice in here.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's quite fragrant.
I'm going to suggest that might have something to do with the AC and the cheap 99p air freshener that we managed to find. I'm thinking
whatever it is, it works. So, anyway, sorry, you were saying. I keep interrupting.
No, not at all. You are our guest, and I want to get the best out of you for the time that we have. Again, thank you for spending the time, because what I've noticed recently, and what I think you've established as being quite adept at, is the whole social media thing.
Yes.
And because I'm at this point where, I try and use it as a business tool, because most people who work in our industry do. However, I only have 800 followers, I'm not complaining, but my sister has 4,000.
Come on!
And I have to ask my sister how she does it. And her answer is One Direction.
Oh, yeah.
One Direction is that whole community
sharing. You need to tweet about One Direction.
Yeah.
And then...
or pretend to be in them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Change your picture to Harry Styles.
I just always feel that I've got nothing to say on Twitter. It's like...
Same here.
It's like they're putting a message in a bottle and throwing that bottle into a sea made up of bottles with messages in and just hoping someone picks that out.
Well, listen, I've come here for charity purposes, just to support you, but it's very convenient that you've brought this subject up, because I now have a company that helps well, it's mainly for brands and businesses to be better at social media and Twitter, which is my way of justifying all the time that I've spent on social media. So I can say, no, I'm not wasting my time on Twitter. Look, it's for it's work, which, you know, that does. I'm sure you're not just throwing things, messages in the bottle that, you know, going nowhere. And if you are, you see, you've got to target those throwing a little bit, careful, be a little bit more sneaky. And
see, it was an innocuous question, but now I feel like I've kind of pushed them into a business pitch, and now I'm getting free financial advice.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Terrible.
I sort of feel, you know, this is about Comic Relief, but here I am saying, you know, I have a business, I have a company, use me.
But it feels like that David Schneider's pitching his business plan, and we're the dragons.
I'd like to invest.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there's a thing, there's a word I'm looking for. I don't have money.
Money.
I don't have money.
Right, okay. Do you have more money than followers, or the other way around?
It's close.
It's close, right.
It is.
Okay.
It depends on how witty I've been that week.
Right.
In terms of money and followers.
Yeah. I think it's fine. It's about finding your own voice and what works. And, you know, it might be One Direction. But also there are things you can do. Like, you know, if you sort of tweeted wittily, which I'm sure you would at certain... I mean, I now employ writers, comedy writers, who are people who, for instance, were... housewives, or they had sort of more traditional, let's call them dull jobs. That's what they felt they were.
Okay.
And now they work for me. And the reason I met them is because they started tweeting me witty things, or I saw them retweeted. And a lot of them were sort of anonymous accounts because they couldn't reveal who they were because they had proper jobs that they were meant to be doing instead of tweeting. And now they're working for me. So, you know, and the way they did that was by tweeting me, by tweeting other people, I mean, oh my God, am I going to use this word? I'm going to try and use it and see how everyone feels. By tweeting influencers,
ooh,
thank you very much,
nice.
In various fields. And then the influencers. What's really terrible about being in this business that I sort of shifted into slightly is that you forget just how cringy some marketing speech is.
So I hear the word blue sky thinking.
Yeah, that's inside the box.
Well, these are old now. I heard... here's some of the words that I've heard, and I'm worried that within 6 months I'll be using without inverted commas and irony. Instead of prototype, I heard pretotype, which is what you do before a pretotype. There's banter. Everyone talks about banter, but there's brand banter is called branter.
How is this not Orwellian doublespeak?
It's crazy. But what worries me is because, you know, I'm doing a bit more of it now, is that I will come and say, yeah, what you need is branter, and I won't ever think, what a tosser I am. so I'm trying to hold on to the tosser thing. It's, you know, social, that's where it's all at. You know, there's some great stuff out there. You know, there's some nightmare stuff as well, obviously.
I still feel like, my generation seems to be in a bubble in the middle, not quite out of the sink of technology, but not quite as harnessed as the generation below me.
Yeah, same,
managed
to get. Yeah. I agree with that, yeah.
And it's a weird little bubble to live in. It's like, great example, when I was at primary school, it was like, you must learn cursive writing, because when you go to university, all essays must be written in cursive writing. I got to university and there's a laptop and a computer, it changes everything, and then how you source the information. And I feel old.
Have you tried writing a whole page of A4 with a pen now? I couldn't do it. I would have to harness the pen to some oxen to help me do it. It's so alien now.
Because it feels like you can't get the ideas quick enough out.
No, I just can't. It just feels weird.
Yeah.
But I'm 127 years older than you, so there's no excuse about, I'm in the bubble, or...
That's true. What I'm getting at is I might be slightly an idiot. That's fine. I'm going to own that. That's my word. So are you doing anything for Comic Relief this year yourself? Or
you know what? What I've been doing is I've been so lost in work, I'm ashamed to say. Been directing Josh Widdicombe's new sitcom, so disappeared into that, along with my social media company. I've been disappeared into that when we're just coming out of it. We're just this weekend I've got the final edits to look at. So I just haven't really known what's going on in the world. So I'm not really doing it beyond sort of donating, obviously. Obviously on this number, whatever it is.
They've got a jingle for that. I have to stop you saying it.
So I'm not doing that.
Well, here's one of the things I wanted to ask you, because we had Nick Revel here earlier today, and he's one of my favourite writers, just because all this projects he's been associated with, and his passion for stuff.
Yeah,
and that was one of the great things he did the Geekatorium show a few months ago, and he just basically spoke about learning the Bible in French, and like that's what I'd rather see on a stand-up stage than a man talking about penis, girlfriend,
Tinder,
lack of penis, lack of girlfriend.
Yeah. You know,
and it was just nice to have that thing. But what I spoke to him about, because we were talking about satire a lot, and obviously you've worked with you know Chris Morrison on the Hour and stuff like that, and it's like. I was beginning to see that what the difference between American satire and British satire tends to be is, even though they call it fake news in America, it's probably more news than the news channels itself. Whereas in the UK, I wouldn't say we have the same quality of that, but we tend to do our satire best through fiction. And I think that's why when you look at something like, you know, The Day to Day or Brass Eye, it's sad to say that that's not shocking anymore. Some of the graphs and the things that they use. And I'm just wondering, do you think there is a problem with satire in the UK, or is it just trying to find a new voice with all the new avenues?
I'm not sure. There's if you do live on Twitter as I do, then there's plenty of fantastic satire. I think satire and you know I think people of a certain age, sort of people maybe your age who were fans of the Day to Day and some of my oeuvre at that time, maybe have a sort of vision of a golden age, which I think, you know, if I don't know if you've seen The Last Leg without over-plugging Josh,
who's
close showbiz pal now, you know, The Last Leg is great, you know, brilliant. I mean, Weekly Wipe is extraordinary.
And yeah, Weekly Wipe is a
so
great
there is
example.
Some great, that I think in 15 years' time, people who are like 14 now and going, oh, I love The Weekly Wipe, I love The Last Leg, they'll be going, yeah, satire's no good now, it's not like The Weekly Wipe, it's not like The Last Leg. But even ignoring the telly, the fantastic quality of satire is on the internet now. And, you know, that's... Well, as soon as something happens, there's, you know, I mean, look at poor old Madonna, who I hope is recovering now. but, you know, within seconds, there were brilliant GIFs, I don't know how you pronounce it, vines, photoshops, jokes, the satire was out there. Okay, so that's her falling over. It's not, you know, but also the political satire is out there as well, you know, and that's what sometimes I bore myself on Twitter with my political satire, but, you know, if I could unfollow myself, I would sometimes. you know, that's a great medium for satire now.
Yeah, because I think Mugabe, you know, that was how it's Mugabe when he fell over and he didn't want it to be shown. You know, again, people just jumped onto that and it was all over the internet.
Well, there's a sense that the internet's like the kind of the Wild West of imparting information now, because through TV or for radio, you've got to deal with Ofcom and regulations and parody laws and not being able to show commons things, but with the internet, fair usage, you know, you got all those kind of things. People take the material and they push
so
it
for
out
satire,
by their voice.
That is satire, that's very exciting, isn't it? You know, and things that go viral, you know, I mean, that's if you remember that Nick Clegg apology and then the guy auto tuned it, you know, it's just great stuff. And it is weird because it's the sort of stuff that we did do on the Friday Night Armistice, which was a show that I did with Armando Iannucci in the 90s. And that's, which was, you know, you needed the whole backup of the BBC then to do a Photoshop, and it was like a Photoshop that's taken us 17 hours to do, and the sort of things that we're doing and we did then, mashups and stuff, now everyone can do, and it's great to see that sort of democratization of satire. So I think it's very much alive. I don't think it's, you know, people still focus on TV, but actually I think it's really, really buzzing out there.
And that's the thing, I don't think it was ever a point of, oh, I think satire's worse now, because that's not true. I just think there's a sense of the only example I can ever use, really, at the point is The Daily Show. And that, you know, because I don't like it when they call it The Fake News Show, The Daily Show, The Fake News Show. It's not fake news. Because I still learn more. I think good satire, you should come away laughing and learning about this topic a little bit more.
Yeah.
And you get that. And I don't, you know, and that's why, you know, Weekly White is a great example. And then the opposite side of that, the far end, is like the panel shows, which are a bit more knee jerk, point and laugh kind of thing, because that's how they have to.
The problem is that we don't have the resources to do The Daily Show. We don't have the resources both financially and in the amount of good people, good writers. You know, it would just siphon everything from other shows, you know. So I think that's The Daily Show is the very top people and very, you know, with a big team able to come up with that stuff. So if, you know, I mean, to do it daily is extraordinary, but I think, you know, the Weekly Wipe does some incredible stuff.
Yeah, Charlie Brooke has been a great voice for that. It's like the piece I really liked is the piece he did about the Meta news report, where it's a news report about how you put a news report together.
Yeah.
And it's like, I am walking down the road.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And because you learn, you enjoy, you recognise, and that's where it comes from.
Yeah.
And that, I don't know. I mean, I've always had this jealousy of people who can write good satire, because I love watching it, listening it, learning. I've never had the willingness to do that.
I think you've got to be angry. I think that's, the best, the people that I know who were the best satirists, and certainly in the 90s, you know, I'm a bit older now and we're all a bit older and, you know, Scott, bellies are spread and what have you. But we were very, on the day to day, we were very angry. Armando, who's, you know, a lovely guy, but what fires him and what fires Chris Morris is indignation at when things are not right, you know. So I think you're sort of too nice a guy.
I wish I could get angry at the news. My problem is I get angry at who they cast in Ghostbusters, or, you know, the next sequel that came out. It's like,
are you angry at the women?
No, that's not it. Not it, because the thing is that Ghostbusters is an incredibly important film for me. One of the reasons why I'm doing this is because that film made me fall in love with so many different facets of comedy. The way Dan Aykroyd writes is beautiful. The way he uses a phrase and really complicated techno jargon really got me into wordplay and stuff. So that film meant a lot to me. If there's going to be a new Ghostbusters film that does that for some 8-year-old girl who goes and sees that Ghostbusters and falls in love with that world and gets in the right, that's great. My problem is I just don't like reboots. I mean, that's the bottom line. I would rather they rebooted Hollywood rather than rebooted films, you know? Because
it's cheap. It's made money. It's easy to make money out of. So,
and, you know, I get it. Good.
I mean, so have you, like, the new Star Wars, Star Trek reboot. Are you not a fan of...
I was never that much into Star Trek to really have a passion. I mean, the thing is, for me, there's Wrath of Khan. There's Wrath of Khan.
Yeah.
And that's because it's a little bit like Master and Commander, but in space. You know, that's the kind of reason why I like that. But
but you're saying that you could, anything that's good, you could never reboot?
No, because then you wouldn't get things like Cronenberg's The Fly, you know.
Or Grease 2.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, argument ended, mate.
Yeah, fair play. Yeah. We've peaked.
Yeah.
I just don't like the industry, because it's like, no matter when they remake these films, they put a lot of money and effort and new special effects, but within 6 months they're already in that bargain bin. But yet we will still go back and watch the original RoboCop, the original Total Recall, because they're the ones that mean the most to us. And I can't see the remakes having the same attachment to that generation.
Yeah, but again, you know, it's just that we're getting old, and that the people who go and see the rebooted RoboCop first, Mike, that'll be the one that means something to them, you know.
I guess you can treat it like a gateway drug. You know? You get a bit of the modern RoboCop, but then that's just a fix for the real deal when you turn up with Verhoeven and you think, okay, that's crazy.
Yeah.
There's a man being shot on screen for no reason for 90 seconds. 90 seconds of just squibs and bloodshed.
Is that in the original?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was the weird thing, because the original...
They don't make them like that anymore, do they?
They don't, though. Because Verhoeven from himself has a background in terms of, you know, he had a rough upbringing, so a lot of that fed into, you know, the kind of nihilism of things like RoboCop and Total Recall. And that's why those films... Cause despite the crass nature, man, cop turned into robot, stand out, because there's anger there, there's a message that they wanted, the satire of the way America was heading, the whole Detroit thing was interesting, which is funny that they decided to stick up a bronze RoboCop statue in Detroit now, considering there's not much left of Detroit warrant putting a statue up.
And did you see the reboot?
Yeah.
And it just didn't have any of that?
If it had been called Robotic Policeman,
right,
it would have been great, because you go, it's a bit like RoboCop, that, but you should watch it, there's some good
Is
ideas.
That with Michael Keaton?
Yes.
Robotic Policeman is my favourite Kraftwerk album, actually.
Yeah, and it, there's nothing wrong with the film other than the fact that they called it RoboCop, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
My favourite Kraftwerk album is Robotic Policeman too.
Just don't jump on that bandwagon. Don't, just...
I see what you did there, and I liked it.
Oh, I'm glad people can do the funny, because I ran out at midnight.
Oh, man, you're doing so well.
Oh, it's been interesting.
Yeah.
Because I love this medium. I've always loved radio as a medium, and the idea of it's very intimate.
Yeah.
And podcasting is even more intimate than that.
And we can all sit here in our swimming trunks as we are.
Unfortunately, that's a fold in my belly and not my swimming trunks. But yeah, and that's why I love doing this. And I thought, well, we'll do it for 27 hours. How hard can it be?
Yeah.
Turns out very hard.
Yeah, you know, you're doing very well.
You're doing a great job, man.
Yeah,
and that was my problem. It was all high. Depending on who the guest... We had Basil Brush this morning.
Did you?
Basil Brush.
Wow.
Basil... Most delightful phone conversation I've ever had in my life.
You phoned him?
Yeah, he was too busy. He's on tour. Right. So, you know, he could fit me on the phone call.
Gillian Anderson, Basil Rush.
Gillian Anderson came in, told me...
You never see them in the same room, though, Gillian.
I'm glad you made that association.
I'm saying, kids.
I'm glad you made the association.
I was on the Basil Rush show once, you know, as a guest, and it was very, very... In fact, I will stop this anecdote here because it was very disillusioning seeing the workings of...
Yeah.
You know,
do you think it'd be like working with the Muppets? Because I get that he's a kind of a British Muppet.
Yeah, yeah. As in he's a puppet.
Well,
yeah.
A puppet, yeah.
So, if you know, and for me, again, you know, I never watched the reboot. You know, I mean, the rebooted Basil is funny and everything, but I just, seeing behind the scenes, it was the old Wizard of Oz behind the curtain. You don't want to see behind the scenes, you know.
Please don't tell me you're sort of snorting a line of crack or anything like that.
No, he's very well behaved, but, you know, he... does have a man's hand up him. So within that parameter of having a man's hand up him, he was impeccably behaved.
Was that Jimmy Savile?
All right. And we're off the air. Yeah. Well,
that's one
way. Do
you
know how many times I've said the word allegedly in the last 12 hours? A lot. No more, please.
Can you say what whatever you want on this? Or
yeah, it's uncensored radio. I mean, apart from outright libel.
Right, okay.
We're free. It's one of the reasons why we had a wrestler on last night talking. He was a villain, you know, in terms of nicest, sweetest guy in the world.
Right.
And I was like, you know, he swore. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to swear. I was like, oh, no, you're fine. Because you guys, you like the C word. And I said the C word. Not to, you know, stagger him, just because, oh, what did you mean? Did you mean that? And the phone went silent. And he was like, I'm really sorry I made you say that. I was like, no, you didn't make me say it. It's like, as if I'd upset, you know, offended him personally, because I forget that. Thanks to things like Derek and Clive, the C word to me just means mate. I mean,
exactly.
That's how it's been instilled.
Good luck with that on the street there.
I'm very rarely out on the street these days. Yeah. But for America, it's the biggest taboo still. Quite right.
They go to illegal wars and stuff, and the C word is the worst.
Well, there was that. What was that meme where it's like America causes all these wars, but they come back and make a movie about one man sniper crying, and always like, now America cares.
I've not seen that. Is it? What, have you seen American Sniper?
Yeah, it was.
What's it called? Bradley Cooper tries to get an Oscar.
Pretty much. Yeah. They had to shrink it down because that's how they did the Birdman title as well. It was the same problem I had with the imitation game. Where it's like they tell the story that they think is the most interesting part, but actually the most interesting part is the part they don't show. Foxcatcher does this as well. The point of the story is leading up to the tragedy in each of those stories. So in American Sniper, he gets shot by the guy with
spoiler alert.
If you've read the book or read the news or care in general, and spoiler alert.
Yeah.
And then obviously Foxcatcher, the thing ends with the murder. And
spoiler alert.
But and then. And finally, with Imitation Game, you've got, you know, him solving things, but actually not the way the country drove him to suicide.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's the story.
Have you seen the Theory of Everything? They miss out the crucial bit when Stephen Hawking goes to Stringfellas.
Right.
So we're really testing whether we can say anything.
He did actually go to Stringfellas.
Did he?
He did. There's a picture of him and Peter Stringfellow.
Well, up in Stringfellows.
Yeah.
How do you know?
How?
I just read in the newspaper.
Somebody told me.
Yeah, someone told me.
So you work at Stringfellows, you go home, who do you give a lap dance to?
Yeah. Well, you'll never guess who came
you'll
in.
You'll never guess.
Like a weird version of a taxi.
Sorry, I digress.
Oh, yes.
They never had that in the film, so.
No, I also, going off on a tangent, I've never understood the appeal of lap dancing places. Because, you know, I went for one on a stag do once, and it was the equivalent of being aroused by the Pirates of the Caribbean ride, which is women come up to you with robotic, we are sexy, and she would lean in and just go, in my ear, and I was like, don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
The one time I went was after a school reunion, and one of our... people, one of the old boys, was a member, and we went, and there was a guy who, at school, he had terrible, terrible bad breath. 20 years later, he still did. And so it was like aversion therapy. I think there was lap dancing going on, but because he was talking in my face with his terrible halitosis, it was like, you will associate this with naked ladies. Terrible smell. So I just, oh, God, no, it was a terrible memory. But they're weird, terrible places.
I don't know how I got from American Sniper to lap dancing.
Yeah. I just like to say, don't
totally be my Stephen Hawking.
Yeah. Who'd have thought?
I sometimes think my conversation is a bit like trying to read Peer Gynt at speed. It's just a lot of effort, but really it should have gone round and about.
Well, I can say about it, the only time I've been to a lap dance is when I went to support them as a comedian.
Really?
That's right, sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, they have, like, casino nights. So it's me, two comedians, and then they had the strippers on in the second half, so...
Yes, I did a couple of gigs. I remember back in the day doing a couple... But you'd share the dressing room and you'd be chatting away, and, yeah.
Lovely girls.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, I was going to say, how shocking, but then actually you read, like, Barry Cry's autobiography, where it was like, he'd gone at the windmill, and after the kind of, you know, the stage nudity, because if you were nude on stage, you couldn't move.
Yeah.
And then
yeah, it was like the tabloids, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then they had the comedian come on.
Was in the Comedy Store? It used to be a strip club, Sunset Strip or something.
Yeah,
the original one, not the one that now.
Not as unusual as it is.
No, not at all.
No, well, the comic strip started at Raymond Review Bar, didn't it?
That's it. Yeah.
So,
yeah. Back in the day.
Back in the day. It's all linked, isn't it? Yeah, comedy and sex.
And sex and
rock and roll.
Yeah. For some reason, my brain was going to say Rocky Horror, Paul. And I was like, why would I want to say Rocky Horror right now?
Anyway, should we go back to American Sniper? Sorry, Paul.
No, please don't. It was exactly what you think of it. It is a middling biopic.
It's just a very Republican.
If you seem angry about pictures, films, the pics, which is good.
What a waste of energy.
If the American Sniper that I haven't seen came in and at gunpoint said, you've got to reboot a film, what would you reboot?
I thought about this in my darkest hours.
Right.
This is not a popular
choice. Did it involve
choice.
The gunpoint and everything?
What might me and my mum do in the privacy of our own home is up to us. I would like to do Howard the Duck right.
Okay.
Because Howard the Duck is a really interesting comic book character. He was designed specifically to piss off Disney because the original drawing was Donald Duck. But he lived in a world full of, you know, hookers, and he was a private eye. And, you know, it was very adult. And, you know, gritty, and there was bad language and things like that. And then George Lucas had it in his brain to go... Here's the thing, Howard the Duck, the movie, which everyone goes, Howard the Duck, first official Marvel movie that they gave the thumbs up to. But the tone of that film is all wrong, because they sell it as children's adventure. But we forget that in the opening 2 minutes of the film, you see a female duck with her boobs out. And him reading Play Duck.
Right?
Yeah. And then it cuts to a light-hearted, you know...
Can
duck
I just stop you a moment? When you say a female duck with her boobs out, I just can't get the visual image of that. What?
Send me a Twitter and I'll give you the gift.
Because what? Duck breasts?
Yeah, I mean, they literally gave a woman duck proper human-type boobs.
Wow.
Yes. Weird. And this is a rated PG film. So he lands... And it's basically a film that's at war with itself. It wants to be a wacky adventure with Tim Robbins and, you know, goat monsters and space things. Also, it wants to be this really weird, sleazy film about a duck who works in a sex spa for a while. And, you know, there are people having orgies as he's cleaning up the oil. You know, it's like...
Jesus.
And it's weird. And then...
Are you sure you didn't dream this?
Oh. My dreams don't come anywhere near the depravity of this. And then there's a scene with Leah Thompson, who is... the love interest to a duck in this film, who turns him on. And there's a scene where she's going, she goes, oh, I've just not found the right guy. And Howard the Duck goes, no, you've just not found the right species.
Jesus.
You know? And then his little feather head goes, whoa, 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 and just bobs up into a very erect state. And I just remember sitting there as a kid and my mum going, I don't know if you should be watching this, but Tim Robbins is about to come on and do a pratfall, so I'm thinking it's all right. So I'd like to do a movie that's more based on the comic book, that gets the tone right and just basically does Donald Duck as a private eye.
It sounds extraordinary. I think you're onto a winner there. I also think it means I've never seen Howard the Duck, but I imagine any kids that saw it are incredibly confused.
I have a weird...
Especially when they order Chinese. They
there's loads of those gags.
The duck breast. I can't have the duck breast.
There's that gag in the film where he gets chased by a Chinese cook with, you know, machetes running down and doing all the most offensive racial...
I've got to see this
film. You don't have to. You really don't. But I've had... it's kind of an obsession with that film.
I think you should, I think you're onto something.
I just
ask you is just to fill some time in your 27 hours, but actually, by God, you're onto something.
I don't know, because plan B is I'm going to remake Inspector Gadget.
That would be brilliant. Who was in the original one? Matthew
Broderick.
But that itself isn't the original, is it? Because it's supposed to
be... It was cartoon,
Did they originally want Jim Carrey in it, didn't they? But
I believe so, after The Mask, but that didn't happen.
No.
And for some reason they got Matthew Broderick in, who I like, but I didn't think he was quite the Don... Oh, what's the guy who did the voice who was also in Get Smart? Don... I'm surrounded by the internet, but God forbid I decide to do any typing.
Do you have any? Do people feedback on this show?
Yeah, we have.
I'm just checking whether we're actually just the four of us speaking to each other.
There's no guarantee that's not also
true.
Yeah,
that's probably the case.
We've got listeners in America listening, and that's been great because they helped us through the night. We get phone calls from a few Americans.
Cool.
And that
brilliant.
Because a friend of mine's in On the Town at the moment, and I love that musical, and so she was giving me all the dirt on that, and that's kind of cool.
Right. What's the songs in On the Town?
It's like New York, New York. It's the one. Three sailors go to New York and have a night on the town.
Frank Sinatra and
beautiful film. So that's kind of okay. If you had the power then to take a property and mould it in your image,
what a question!
And you'd literally have 7 minutes to make this decision.
Yeah. I really don't know. I regret now asking you that question. You answered so thoroughly. I mean, I was as a kid, I was a Lord of the Rings geek. But that's been done, hasn't it? I hear. But I had that sort of feeling that you had about how dare you reboot anything in the first queued massively just to be the first person in the first show. I wasn't the first person because obviously there's lots of even sadder people than me.
I was in the
first screening of the first film, having auditioned for it as well. Where I think I frightened them slightly by going, I'll do anything in this film. In my head, I was down to the last two for Gollum, definitely, in my head. Having got over the disappointment of not being in it, I went to see it and I was so nervous about how they were going to screw it up. And the first few shots, you know, were so extraordinary. I just relaxed. So that's why I'm now okay with rebooting, because I felt that my ultimate passion was The Lord of the Rings. Mm. And they've done all right, I think. I'm not sure about The Hobbit, though.
The Hobbit was maybe a step too far, I think.
Yeah. Or just drawn out. So I've not seen the last one, you know, but drawn out. I mean, you just think, God.
It was too much of a good thing, I think, is the best. Because I'm not a big fan of the genre of kind of, you know, wizards and magic and things like that, but I enjoyed The Lord of the Rings. The problem with The Hobbit was I enjoyed the children's book and I wanted to see that light, fun adventure with a tinge of darkness.
Yeah.
And instead what you got was Lord of the Rings.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is good, but it was Lord of the Rings where nobody died. I mean, I just thought, you know, just they all survived the most ridiculous things. And, you know, just the great thing about Lord of the Rings is, spoiler alert, you having spoiled every film I haven't seen, so I'm going, that someone dies in the first, you know, one of the heroes dies in the first film. You know, people die, which is... I love people dying. You know, you need that in a film. That's why Game of Thrones is...
You love people dying, you should come to some of my gigs.
Line them up. Beautiful then.
Yeah, Game of Thrones, that's why that's so good, because you just never know who's going to die. So you're, you know, are you Game of Thrones fans in this room? Yeah.
No. I've never seen it.
It's ace,
right.
What annoys me though is when I say I'm not a big fan, they say, you think it's shit? I'm like, no, I don't think it's crap, it's just not my cup of tea. The great thing about the pick and mix of life is that we all get to pick and choose our favourites.
Yeah, exactly. Although there's no pick and mix anymore because Woolworths has gone bust.
You have to go to the cinema now.
It's very sobering.
So expensive in the cinema as well.
It's like, because again, funnily enough, Nick Redd was talking about this as well. You know, I remember watching wrestling and buying a pick and mix at Woolworths, and I was thinking, you've just described 1986 perfectly.
Yeah,
that seems to be, you know, wrestling, bullseye. Woolworths, jumpers for goalposts, man and boy.
My whole life ahead of me.
How is the comedy circuit now then? Has you enjoying it?
I've got more political in my comedy, so I'm enjoying it more than I am, but it's harder to get gigs.
Because you've gone political?
No, because I'm just fucking lazy.
Yeah, because I'm not funny.
I'm not funny. I think you have to hustle for gigs, and I'm just a bit lazy. So
yeah.
I just get the gigs that come to me, and I try and book a few paid gigs if I can.
Right.
But yeah, you just have to do your own thing. Like, I was speaking to a fellow comic yesterday. Everyone seems to go to Edinburgh. We probably need a few of us not to go to Edinburgh and do something else. Like, there's a whole international circuit, Australia, America, India.
Yeah.
So we're all doing the same thing. That's why I'm trying to maybe go to political organisations and ask if they want comedy and stuff. I'm doing a few charity benefits.
So are these political organisations, they're far right organisations, or what? You know, which
BNP, UKIP.
Yeah. They're the ones that are booking at the moment.
Ku Klux Klan.
You've got to go where the money is.
Yeah. I did not know this until recently about the Ku Klux Klan. I was thinking, where did it get its weird alma mater kind of things from? It's like, no, it's the sound a shotgun makes loading. And I was just like, I never knew that.
No, I never knew that.
Can that be true?
I read that, but then I also saw it in a Sherlock Holmes story. The Orange Pips one has that as the main kind of nefarious dealing in the back. So that's where I learned it from.
Yeah, because clan could be like clan, but spelt badly because they're a bit illiterate. Ku Klux.
The Ku Klux, isn't it? That must be the sound.
Yeah.
And then they're just a clown.
Like most ignorant people, I'm simply repeating what I read.
That's fair enough.
Yeah. I completely.
Because how long have they been around the Ku Klux Klan? I'm not an expert, but there wouldn't be.
Well, the thing is, they died out in the late 1800s, and what brought them back into the popular, you know, sphere in America was Birth of a Nation. And that film, D.W. Griffiths, was like. Celebrating, you know, white America, and that resurged all the interest in it, and that's what I remember. Again,
it feels like everything I ask, you know. I'm a bit disturbed that you've got some access to the time vortex. You know exactly what.
And yet, eggheads won't have me on. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
It's like I know a little bit about everything, but not enough about a lot.
He knows too much.
It's a curse.
Yeah.
It really is. Right, we are coming up to midday, which means I only have 11 more hours before I can finally go home to cry in my bed. If you would like to donate, please do. Whatever pennies and pounds you have in your pocket, please fund them to the following address. It's my.rednoseday.com/sponsor/geekatorium27podcast. Yes, it's a mouthful. So if it's too hard, go to foobarradio.com or geekatorium.net, use the links, donate your money, and make us all a very happy chappy. Jingle and a song.
Foobar Radio presents the Geekatorium 27-hour podcast challenge, raising money for comic relief. Donate now by going to my.rednoseday.com/sponsor/geekatorium27podcast. Foobar and Geekatorium, doing something stupid for a very good cause.